Okay, I'd like to call this public port meeting, May 9th, to order. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so approval of the agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda?
Nope.
And we're good with that too, on that decision? Okay. All right, moving right along, consent.
Can we have a motion?
All right, I make a motion to approve the agenda.
I second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. On the consent agenda, we all had a chance to take a look at that?
Yep.
We're all good with that?
Yep. I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Public comments not related to the agenda.
You all probably know that we are in our sixth year of the annual last day of school beach party at Hermitage. And it started when the port built us a new coast, so the kids would be jumping off the rocks at the marina, and we're much more safe, and we're very happy it's there. And we're celebrating every year on the last day of school. So any of you who'd like to come down and join our families on the beach on the 15th of June, it'll probably start mid-afternoon, depending on the tides, we'd like to be able to swim out with the new boat rather than walk. So we watch the tides. But one thing we do need help on, there was a large tree taken down on the beach, and many of its huge limbs and lots of driftwood has been piled up on the beach. We as volunteers are unable to dispose of that very effectively. We do clean up the beach every year because the kids run around barefoot and we don't want anyone to get hurt. But if we could get someone to drag those big pieces off the beach before we start our cleanup in about a week or so, that would be great.
Linda, are you thinking like you need an excavator to help drag it off? Is it that big?
So, need a few really strong guys that aren't over 70 years old. So all our volunteers clean up the beach.
That's hard to find around here.
I know.
If you have any.
You should get your local football team to come down there for a minute.
We'll have maintenance. Check it out and see what they're.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
You can do some on the 15th.
Any other comments not related to the agenda? If you have a comment, I would ask that you keep it brief, but if there's a comment on executive director selection, this would be where you would put that comment in, I believe.
No, because
it's on the agenda.
It's on the agenda, so.
Oh, it is. I didn't see that. Yeah, I didn't see that. Excuse me. I'm my mistake. Sorry. Any other comments not related to the agenda? Anybody in the back? Okay, moving right along. Second reading, Commissioner Code of Conduct.
I meant to put this on the last agenda and slip by. We presented this about three meetings ago, and I haven't heard any comments back from any of the commissioners. So if you're so disposed, I'd recommend adopting it, but it's your code of conduct. So.
Well, I think we can adopt it, and then if we find it too onerous, we can change it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would make a motion that we go ahead and adopt this as is.
Is that?
And it'll be public comment?
Yes.
Let me make the motion and then go ahead for public comment. And we haven't seconded the motion, but.
Second it.
You'll second it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now we can go ahead and have public comment. Go ahead, Melinda.
The one thing I think is missing and you should consider is that the commissioners should not vote on things that where there's a conflict of interest, which we've seen especially this year. And I would certainly like, as a public, to see that added to this.
What? Give us an example.
The rate increases that were not, where you and Brad had specifically had a conflict of interest. And so you vote them to the 5.5% that was recommended by the court.
So I have a question to that. How am I in a conflict of interest with that decision?
Well, I understand you have the sailboat and also business here in the port.
So, but that would preclude, I mean, that would mean you couldn't have a commissioner that had a interest in the port.
Which would probably be the best.
Well, yeah. But that's.
I think the RCW covers those sorts of circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, as long as the affected commissioner is very clear prior to the vote that, you know, we used to have it like with Dave Thompson's on the commission, and you know, we're discussing lease rates for tenants and that sort of thing. As long as he always announced that he was a tenant and it was known to the public that he, and correct me, Seth, that the RCW allows you to go ahead and vote in those cases, but as long as it's not your direct lease, you know.
There's a rule of necessity as well, the majority can't have a vote and nobody's.
Yeah, business of the public isn't being done.
And you just have one commission and well, in that, assuming hypothetically there were two commissioners without.
I would be comfortable leaving the code of conduct as it is because RCW is pretty clear on what is a conflict of interest. We also have legal advice here too.
So Melinda, are you also talking about a unanimous consent vote too, that you feel all issues should be unanimous?
No.
Where we had a 2-1 on this, or no?
No, I just felt that there was a conflict of interest.
Because we were boat owners.
Well, in particular, yes.
Yeah.
And you were going to be, you in particular, were going to be impacted by the rate increase. And as you recall, at my meeting, specifically said my wife would kill me if I voted for that.
Right.
That.
Yeah, you wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was stating a specific conflict.
Well, yeah. In the back.
Yes, my name is Tom. You could recuse yourself on that particular issue, and that's what an attorney would basically require, that if it affects you directly, that you could sustain from voting on that particular issue. So I'd like that right into the minutes, if I could.
What is your last name, Tom?
Tom. C-O-N-L-E-Y.
Yeah.
Bill Kurtzinger, yeah. Sunrise Coffee. I think one of the reasons we vote for you three commissioners is because you got certain positions that we want represented in the board and decision making. So I would not want that in that agenda at all. I mean, I appreciate that you all do what you do. And that's why a lot of times we make these voting decisions.
Thank you.
That's my two cents.
Okay.
Yeah, this could be modified.
Yeah, and we can modify this at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other comments? Yes.
Yeah, James Briss, I feel more comfortable with people that are involved in the port. I mean, I voted for Dave Thompson when he was port commissioner because I figured he knew what was going on down here to make a good commissioner. If everybody had to recluse themselves, if they were even remotely involved, you might have nobody voting on things.
Yeah, okay. All right. Bill.
So I know it's not part of this, but I guess my suggestion would be that when each new commissioner is elected, that this be reaffirmed.
Yes. Yeah.
Like
yeah. Yeah. Well, it'll definitely be part of their packet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But a public reaffirmation of the next commission meeting would be, I think, would be appropriate.
Right.
Talking about like reauthorizing this resolution every year, so you're getting ahead of it, or is that what you're referring to?
I don't mean to say that it expires, but my intent is that it is that this be a newly elected commissioner buy in to this so that the public knows that all the commissioners are on board with this code. And it's not a question about, well, that was done back when, you know, he was in charge, and I was no believer in that.
Well, or the other way, Bill, is a new commissioner could come in and question this and then bring it up as a possible agenda item that could be voted on if he had enough support,
yeah.
He or she.
I don't mean to imply that it needs to change.
Right, no, I understand.
Or. You know, there's a number of items that every January we just review, like my delegation
yeah.
authority and all that, and just kind of readopt.
Yeah.
Nine times out of ten, you don't change anything, you just kind of reaffirm it, put a fresh date on it. You can put this in that same category.
That'd be fun.
So do we need, if we were going to do that, do we need to amend the motion then to do that? Or is that just, we're going to
note it? We can just do that in January.
Okay. All right.
You can do that in January.
Yeah. We'll call you. Where are we? Okay, so we've got a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. First reading, oh no, I'm sorry, fine yacht interior lease.
Eric. So this is the second reading of a matter that came before you 2 weeks ago regarding the fine yacht interiors lease. As you may recall, the question arose regarding the subtenants occupying the downstairs space in the context of whether or not it was prudent to waive, in this instance, the standard hazardous substances warranty and agreement rider that we require for most leases at the Boat Haven. It was staff's opinion at the time that the use in the wood shop down below was benign in nature, did not involve hazardous substances, and therefore the rider was not required. I think Commissioner Tucker, in particular, raised concerns about the potential for evolving uses within that space. Certainly when one takes a look at the description of the premises and the permitted use within that the entire building, it's reasonably broad in nature and does outline basically boat repair, construction, and other marine-related uses. So after taking a look at the premises with the tenant and discussing it with Gwendolyn Tracy, the proprietor, we've brought forward to you at this meeting a revised version of the lease that we reviewed 2 weeks ago. And that does, in fact, include the standard warranty rider language, and that permits, obviously, a little bit more flexibility as it relates to potentially evolving uses in that downstairs portion of the tenancy.
So initially, it'll just say not applicable, or
yeah, it's basically a disclosure document, and there's essentially very little to nothing to disclose at this time. But it's an annual requirement, and so if the use does evolve over time, there would be a requirement to report that. So with that minor change, inclusion of a new paragraph 17, which references the standard rider language, and inclusion of the rider itself, the staff recommends approval of the lease.
So then, and then there's an option for 2 3-year periods, so that's 9 years.
Correct.
Gwendolyn, do you want it? Are you good?
I'm fine. I mean, I agree at this time. Okay. That has this materials rider really isn't significantly necessary, but future uses, which I believe we also have to do. On, may require some things.
Okay. So you're good with it?
Okay.
Yes. I'm good with it. I move that we approve the lease.
Second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks, Gwendolyn. Port Townsend Brewing Company.
Eric. So this matter as well came before you 2 weeks ago. It is, again, a proposed 5-year lease, but I believe, but I think it's 5-year with 2 5-year options, three-year options to renew. The only question that was raised regarding this lease during our previous meeting was the issue of the insurance limits, the combined single limit coverage for general commercial liability insurance. Under our standard form leases, $1 million, and the question arose whether that was sufficient, given the fact that this is a brewery with a beer garden and alcoholic beverages are consumed on site, particularly during the spring and summer months. Staff indicated at the time that we didn't think that that was a concern. We thought our insurance limits were in keeping with the recommendations of the WPPA, but that we would investigate further. I've not been able to find any leases that show definitively that a $1 million or a higher limit, for instance, $2 million, is standard practice. I think $1 million is. We have placed a request for further information in the port's insurer, Enduris, but we have not yet heard back. I would point out that in the context of other lease agreements, we have on port property, particularly at Point Hudson, with both docks as well as the Shanghai restaurants, both of which have much longer hours of operation and serve alcoholic beverages and do carry this $1 million limit that we, is recommended in the lease, that staff feel comfortable that these insurance limits are adequate to protect the board's interest.
I don't think we should be singling out one tenant. Spruce Goose also sells beer and wine.
Yeah.
Now there is talk among port districts, and we may hear some of that this week, just in general, raising the liability insurance to $2 million, just because as time moves on, you know, lawsuits get more expensive, you know, a slip and fall in any one of our tenants' establishment, they're going to sue the tenant plus us. You know, it's just the way the world has gone. So there's some talk about that, but I don't think Endorus has really weighed in at all on that. So.
Okay. Well, I make a motion that we approve this lease for Port Townsend Brewing Company.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. The reason we're all here. We can't switch it now. That's all right. All right. Potential immediate action items. Executive director selection.
You first have to vote under adopted rules whether you want to take potential immediate action.
Right.
So I move that we take potential immediate action today.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now you can.
So a couple of comments. One is, if you're not counting, this is Larry's second to last port meeting. So he's counting. again, we'll probably say this a couple more times, but thank you for everything you've done. 17 years of running the wheel, and you've done a job well done.
It's been an honor and a privilege.
Appreciate it. We also have a couple people, Gordon and Bill, and Linda, from our panel on Friday. And as we went through the weekend and heard public comment, one of the real common denominators of all those comments was how productive that forum was. And so thank you to the three of you for making the time and putting the effort into the questions. We really appreciate it. And we do have a couple of our candidates here as well. And I want to say thank you to you both and Sam as well, that and we've commented several times what a process to go through in terms of filling out the application, going through the interview. This was a long interview, it was a 10-question interview, and then going through the public forum on Friday as well. With that said, I guess at this point, before we do discussion, do you want me to open it up to the public? I can go, how do you guys want to play that?
I'm fine with that. If there's more to be said from the public, I'd like to hear it.
Sure. You good with that? Fine, yeah. Okay. So if there are public comment on the executive director selection, now's a good time to raise your hand and be heard. Oh my gosh, they just want us to take the vote. I feel like this is the Academy Awards. Okay. Do we have...
Well, I'll say one thing.
Bill, good.
I would not want to be in your position right now. I think these are three outstanding finalists. And
yeah.
I appreciate you whittling it down to these people.
Yeah.
And as I said in my emails to everybody, I have a preference, but I didn't give it to you because that's your job.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that you narrowed it down to these people.
Yeah. I really appreciate you saying that. And I'll reiterate that whoever walks out of this room as the next executive director, it is, I can tell you going into this right now, there is no clear winner. So we are going to have a discussion about it. And the three of us literally are sitting here with as much question mark as you are sitting out there. So with that said, I'm going to open it up for our discussion and let's chat about it some more.
If I can make one thing clear for the audience, that once you reach a decision as to who the selected individual is, it doesn't mean it's done yet.
Yeah, so why don't you can explain that. Yeah.
Yeah, all the decision today will be is to authorize Commissioner Hanke, who's the president, and Abigail Berg, our finance director / human resource, to negotiate a potential contract with the selected individual. It's not uncommon at this level of hiring that you can get sideways in negotiations and suddenly you're back at the table again. So just because somebody's selected today doesn't mean it's final. It'll take another couple of weeks probably. So.
We hope not.
Hopefully not.
Yeah.
Okay. And I want to say that I got a tremendous amount of input over the weekend. And one of the things that practically everyone said is just what someone else has already said today, that there's three wonderful candidates and any one of them can do a marvelous job at the port. So luckily I won't be in the doghouse for choosing the wrong one, because any of them can do a good job. And that makes me feel really good. There's some slight differences in the direction we want to go forward, and that's what we've been discussing. And the thing that's interesting is in all the emails that I got, of course, the very end, the rumor mill got ramped up, and the rumor mill was telling me what I was thinking the whole time. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't have a decision until this afternoon or this morning, you know, late morning. So the rumor mill was totally wrong, and we've had some vigorous discussions, and like you said, we don't know who's going to be the executive director yet. So why don't you guys say thanks to him?
Well, I can say I can see why Kingston went the route they did and kept it all out and didn't have any executive sessions, because now we've got to try and remember everything that's been discussed and reiterate our concerns and thoughts and so on, and that's not an easy task, you know, because it is such a difficult decision, and they all have they're highly qualified first people, so.
Yeah, I'm going through the executive session this morning. The comments and the discussion was really similar to what you're hearing right now. We've got three real strong candidates. At one point, someone said, you know, it'd be nice if we could hire all three, because they all bring a bit of a different take on the direction of the port. I think one of the clear distinctions, obviously, is that Greg comes from out of town. Josh is a local in town, and Sam is also local. So the discussion of, you know, there's merits to being local. There's merits to, you know, having a background like Greg's with port experience, direct port experience. And so the way forward is really kind of almost, you know, what's going to be the most effective for the port in terms of getting the next job done. So does anybody want to do anything?
It's only the biggest decision you'll ever make.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Rock, paper, scissors.
We could do rock, paper, scissors. Yeah.
Well, basically, in my mind, I'll go ahead and start. In my mind, it ended up being the difference between a safe person, you know, one that was a safe choice, and one that carried a little bit more risk. And all my life, I've been a safe guy. I don't gamble. I don't have any idea how to gamble. In fact, Pete was trying to use a gambling metaphor this morning, and I had to have him explain it to me. I just don't know how to do that. I've been a safe guy. But in my life, I've made several big choices, big choices, life-changing ones. And I've always gone for the not the safe one. And it's not, and they've all paid off, by the way, thank heavens. But it's not because of luck. I think it's because I'm trying not to be reckless. And so sometimes you have to make a choice where there's a little bit of uncertainty or perhaps a little bit more risk, but you've weighed that uncertainty and risk with the greater rewards. And I think that's where I had to come from. It was the hardest decision I've had to make. And in talking all these things over, I think that I ended up choosing, well, I guess I'm going to start by saying a person. When we first went through the interviews, I thought Sam nailed him. I was just totally happy with what she had to say. But as we kept going on, I kept realizing that there were some other candidates that had some really good things that didn't really come out in the interview, but came out in other ways. And frankly, the comments, I've had some emails criticizing the fact that we opened up this process to public comments. And I find those emails criticizing that awful, because I got so many excellent ideas and thoughts from the public comments that people gave me. And it kind of clarified things for me. And I think that I'm going to say that I really value court experience, and I value the making your own way. And that doesn't, based on that, I'm gonna go with Greg. And I realize that's gonna make a lot of people who wanted the hometown person really unhappy. But I have to stop back and think to myself, I was an out of towner 35 years ago. And Mike Glenn, then the hospital, he was an out of towner, he came in, he did wonderful things. David Engel, Jake Beattie, they all came in from out of town. And so, I mean, I understand the strong feelings and the local relationships that are going to be felt to be, you know, stepped on a bit. And it's unfortunate, but I really feel that where we're going, we need to have someone that's been in the saddle and knows the courts, because courts are a different kind of an animal. They're a lot different than any other municipal government. They have a lot of different priorities and responsibilities and capabilities, revenue generation, and so forth. And I really feel that that we could be safe with one of the other candidates, or we could take a little bit of a chance on someone that we don't, that the whole community does not know, and have the potential to be ahead of the curve when we're looking for funding, because I had some really good ideas on how to make our assets pay, to have a business development attitude toward everything that was here. And of course, there's a lot of ideas that were put out, but I don't think those were ideas that were necessarily meant that we're gonna do these things here. They're ideas that were ideas. And I think that with the leadership that we have locally here on the commission, we can direct it towards where this community wants to go.
Well, I, got a lot of feedback as well from the community, and listening to the interview process on Friday was excellent opportunity to hear some additional thoughts that above and beyond the essay questions that we had asked in the application package. But it's, I'm an analytical guy, I need data. And when I hear, claims of what we can do and ideas for, you know, moving into the future, whether it be growth or just sustaining what we have. I heard a lot of comments that were unsubstantiated, in my opinion. There was no cost benefit analysis or anything to support some of those comments. And so it's, I've got to say, I feel but differently than you do, Steve. And that I think that in this case, I'm leaning towards Sam, and that's because I base that on her vast experience in multiple agencies, her experience as an entrepreneur here in town for many years, and I think that she brings to the table a wider variety of cross-section of skills that could really take our port into the future.
Yeah, so you guys are really getting the audience, you're getting its flavor of what we did this this morning. And for me, it did come down to particularly looking at leadership. And there is a difference between management and leadership. And if you run your own company, you know what I'm talking about. You, at some point, you can look at the net facts and the numbers till the cows come home, but at some point somebody has to step off the circle and make a decision. And so for me personally, it really came down to two individuals. I guess we can say names now. So Greg or Sam were the two names. Sorry, Josh. no, nothing personal on that. And to be honest, I'm really on the fence between the two. I think, you know, they bring excellent, excellent qualities to this. Either one of them would do a fine job at running this port. And frankly, at this point, this juncture, I really have no way of knowing which way to jump, right or left. And so I think I will put out a nomination at this point that we enter into a contract negotiations with SAM. And so.
I second that motion.
You second that motion. And so those in favor. Or we can have more discussion, actually.
I don't know. You know, like I said, I've been back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
I know.
And
even leaving the room earlier today, we were probably somewhere else.
Yeah, we were somewhere else.
But I mean, we haven't voted. I mean, no, just in discussion. No one has voted or said anything. So.
Well, there is a motion on the table. That's
right. Yeah, and we can discuss it more.
And we can discuss it more. Yeah.
And I can withdraw it if we decide to withdraw it. So is there any more discussion on it?
Well, okay. How do I reiterate everything
yeah.
I've been discussing in the past? I think at this point I should just focus on Sam's strengths as opposed to some other concerns that I have about other candidates. And I adamantly feel that she has the capacity and the wherewithal to recognize that we're going to have some really hard decisions to make in the very near future, including rate escalations for the marina, mm-hmm. you know, possibly considerably higher than next year. I think that if we would have been, I'll take a step back. If we would have been presented with some information about some true costs that we weren't presented with at the time during our budget discussions, I think it would have been a no-brainer for us to approve a higher rate, to tell you the truth.
I'm sorry, can you go back and talk? What did you say again?
If we would have had the opportunity to review some costs that weren't available at that time.
Which time are you talking about?
During our budget
last
discussions.
Last budget discussion. Yes,
right. You know, in regards to costs and upgrades that were having to occur here. I think we would have had a benefit of that. We probably would have gone with a higher rate escalation. And I'm not blaming port staff on that, you know, being negligent or anything like that. What I'm getting at is I think that Sam will be the person that has the capacity with her past experience to put all this information together and make sure that you know, we have all the information that's necessary for us to make the best decision possible for the port. And that includes rate escalations or what have you. She's a data-driven person, obviously, because of her background and her training, as well as her the fact that she's, you know, she has a civil engineering degree and then her other degrees in community. I guess, what's your comments? I mean, what do you think?
Well, you know, I think, Greg, you're amazing in your talents and what you've done at the Port of Seattle. I felt that as I looked at Sam, particularly in the interview process, and at Greg, in the end, they're different toolbox. You're bringing a little bit of different tool sets to the equation. And I think for what we're going to do moving forward, I'm more comfortable with Sam's tools than I am with Greg's. I agree with Steve that Sam is not as much of, I don't want to say risk. I think I could understand Sam's set of tools better than I could understand Greg's set of tools. And so that's kind of what it boiled down to for me. I took the road of less risk.
Right. And I got to tell you that I was back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And this has just been my personal experience in my past.
Yeah.
I quit the mill, a job that everyone thought was a cushy job down there, because I worked straight days and I had an air-conditioned lab looking out over the bay. And why are you quitting this? you know, but it was a risk for me. I didn't want to do it. I took a calculated risk. And luckily, it paid off because I ended up having my own business and so on and so forth. And so it was based on that experience that I thought to myself, you know, it might be a bit of a risk because Greg has not got the engineering cred, but he has a lot of other really wonderful things that he does, like the business management. That's the business development is what we need here. We need the thing that just appealed to me when I heard him was said that we need to develop our own resources rather than rely on grants, because we're going to be suffering some big setbacks that are going to be global in nature, like sea level rise is happening whether we want it or not. And when that time comes, everyone's going to be after the same grant money. And if all we have is grant aspirations and no reserve, we're going to be out of luck. And I think that's the thing that kind of attracted me to that, because he'd been very successful in that over the years. But then on the other hand, Sam has a toolbox that's just full of tools, as we all have explained. So. And there's the other aspect that I didn't want to really think too much about until exactly at this point in time, and that's that I think it was Pamela Nua indicated that she thought it would be good if the decision were unanimous, and that would help the new person come on board and not feel like they're the person working again. And to me, the decision was so close, it teetered in the favor of Greg. And I think Greg would be a wonderful person, but I think that I could go with Sam too.
Let's vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. And again, to Greg England and Josh Peterson, thank you very much, gentlemen, for what you've done. And we appreciate your interest and your ideas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, moving on. Other business, boatyard, stormwater, feasibility RFQ updates.
Just to bring you up to date, we talked about it before. We did get 7 total RFQs in on time, all great companies with experience in stormwater, both infrastructure and other aspects like DMPs. We interviewed 4 of them. The last 2 were last Monday. Al, Larry Ozzie, Eric, and I sat in on them. You just sat on one. It was unanimous. We met on Tuesday just to discuss it, and we were pretty
Thank
much
you.
Taken with Parametrics. They had an excellent briefing. As Al said, they actually already did some of the work, whereas the others were just kind of, I'm Joe, here I am, here's what I've done. These guys actually took our current data as much as they had available to them and started working the problem. And I think if we can reach a negotiated contract with them, I think they'll serve the port well. Step in, Eric. You talked to him. We expect a draft scope of work.
They actually gave me just sort of the bones of scope of services just before coming over here. I received an outline, so they're diligently trying to pull something together, and as well as a proposed budget, so that we might have something for your consideration by the May 25th meeting. And part of the reason for the moving so swiftly on this is the acknowledged need to try to get out in front of the Department of Ecology administrative order, because the scope of services for this project really will be, the driver in what that order contains, that we're essentially outlining what we believe we need to do to make significant headway in coming closer to achieving benchmark. And that we have a plan to do it and a timeline to do so as well. They're also hopeful that if presumably we are are successful and get them under contract, that we could have a significant portion of the work done prior to the end of the budgeting process, so that if there are specific project elements, capital project elements that come out of this, that they might be folded in to the 17 capital budget. So they've been very accommodating and extremely professional. They're really excited about the opportunity, and I think they obviously want to make some headway in terms of establishing a track record, helping port districts and boat yards achieve compliance. They already have some of that, but I think they're really, I don't know, Larry, how would you put it? They're really chomping at the bit.
I think they see this as, if they can solve our problem, and they were very confident that
the big solution in the
is
cap
out there, that this will essentially be a feather in their cap.
Yeah.
You know, they go to other, not just boat yards, other industrial facilities, and kind of use us as that.
Good.
You know, look what we did here, kind of thing.
So what were their marching orders? Just fix it? You figured
no,
out
No, that's the scope of work is what their marching orders would be. That's what we got to show you guys, hopefully in 2 weeks.
Right.
And then they've got to come back, remember, with an RFQ. There's no money discussed yet. Mm-hmm. So the next step, once we get the RFQ, scope of work done, is for them to say, okay, if you agree to the scope of work, we estimate it's going to be X amount of dollars to perform. And if we gag at that, then we may want to go back and negotiate it. And if we don't, are unable to reach a negotiated position, then we go to our number two rank. Which, by the way,
is
Small Foster.
Mel Foster.
Longy, which is another premier company.
And if I could just real briefly, I mean, the purpose of the project is to develop both short and long-term strategies for complying with both our general permit. And so we've kind of outlined, as we believe is the case, three basic steps to getting there. Step one is the kind of tried and true data collection, site characterization, data gaps assessment. Then we would move into alternatives analysis and development of a compliance plan that would kind of be the bones for Ecology's administrative order. That's essentially another level three response engineering report, in essence, is what that is. And then phase three would be implementation of stormwater improvements. Obviously, we're not expecting wet stamp designs out of this, but rather, at the end of the day, in a subsequent phase, at least conceptual design. So there's a lot of kind of work to be done between now and really in the end of the year and really 17 to help frame the options and inform the commission's decision as to how best to move ahead with future capital improvements.
So we'll try to get that on the agenda for the next.
Now, I guess I'm not clear on you saying you wanted to get this out before the engineering report came in. So,
you know, before Ecology issues its administrative order.
Administrative order. I'm sorry. Yeah, administrative order. I said the wrong thing. So their administrative order is going to be saying you got to do this to correct that, right?
No.
No. What is their administrative order going to consist?
They're going to say you got to do something to correct it.
Yeah, they're not going to
indicate,
but they will likely give us a time frame to achieve compliance. And so what we're doing is we're driving that by saying, here's our plan to drive compliance, you know, to come into compliance, and that would be embodied with
essentially this order. Effort will become what DOE will say, okay, looks good to us, implement it. Now, it was 3 years, 5 years, you know, for the whole process. But DOE is expecting to see a broad spectrum of, you know, efforts, you know, both, you know, looking at current BMPs or something else you can do, something you can do better, plus, you know, the quote silver bullet at the end. I know a lot of people say, well, why don't you just go to the end of it and fix it, be done with it. Well, since it's going to take multi-years, you're going to want to see BMPs and other short-term, you know, efforts
Well, we don't want to over-engineer either. So, yeah, part of the reason for doing this stepwise, I mean, there may well be something that would help us achieve benchmark that we could deploy today, but at considerable capital cost. But there's other low-hanging fruit that kind of makes a lower cost capital set of capital improvements possible. That's absolutely the course that we want to take.
But Chevrolet will get us to the finish line. Why buy the Cadillac right away?
Well, very much excellent company. They have a full staff of every type of engineer necessary, so that's really good.
Yeah,
so it's all in-house. There's no secondary entities involved, and plus they're based out of Bremerton, is that right?
Yeah,
so relatively close, and I think they're going to be low cost alternative anyway.
Well, plus they have one gentleman that lives here in Port Townsend.
They have one of their engineers is a Port Townsend resident.
Yeah, so if there's some meeting that we need to talk to somebody today, the guy just be down there in 10 minutes. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, we'll bring the scope of work back to you eventually, but it's not going to be cheap. Don't expect to do this for $50,000. It's going to be a six-figure effort. So.
To get black and white.
Yep.
Not a shovel in the ground.
No, I think they're their best bet to pull us out of the hole we're in, so.
Yeah.
Well, and if I could just very briefly say that I think there are some other kind of corollary steps that, while they're maybe not directly involved with this study, are going to be really important for us to get clean baseline data to do the engineering from. And that may include, in the near term, the port going out with an RFP for jetting of the stormwater system to get that clean, because we have some, the numbers have really spiked, and we have some theories as to why that might be related to turbidity within the system that is actually ironically caused by cleaning it last summer without having jetted it. So that may be something that we need to do to make sure that we have good data to work from.
Jetting with camera documentation, perhaps?
Yeah, run them, mine down through them. So. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Staff comments.
Is that anything? No, that helps.
Sue?
I just think you all made a really good decision, and I would have respected any decision you had, but I look forward to having Sam Gibney as my next boss.
There you go.
I haven't talked to her about you yet.
Sure. I appreciate the very deliberative, careful process that the commission went through, and deeply empathize with how much you must have been hammered on by constituents over the weekend.
I expect to be hammered some more.
I actually, I think Brad said it really well today earlier, that it's really hard because the public didn't get to see all the material that we have in terms of the questions and the background checks and everything that's done to a candidate. And so, but in the end, the comments I thought were relevant, and it's good. I mean, I'm glad there's interest. It's like, wow, we're not just sitting here doing nothing. So there was interest.
That's the most difficult thing you'll have to do as a commissioner. I
hope you're right.
It's done.
I hope you're right.
But I talked to Sam earlier, and she said she's prepared to take a couple of days of vacation prior to my leaving, so that we can do a couple of days touring around, and it'd be nice to actually go down Gold Scene, explain the history and what we're doing, and walk the airport and that sort of stuff. So
now, officially, after the meeting is done, do I call her?
It'd probably be appropriate for you to give her a call. I'm sure she's already gotten calls from people she knows here.
Yeah.
And both newspapers are here. And right. I sent an email to Kevin Eloff, who's our public relations guy, wanted to know that we need to scoop the newspapers, and I told him too late. So
yeah.
The only thing I have is a small
The spring WPPA conference is this week in Skamania, and I'll be presenting a small works roster class on Wednesday afternoon.
Good luck and hard to that.
Our fellow compatriots. Oh, yeah.
Commission, public comments, not related. Bill?
So I'd like to, Bill Bettany from District 2. So I'd like to thank the commissioners and staff, Abigail, of course, and Berkeley, for doing a very diligent job, complete job of doing the candidate selection for the executive director. And you guys had a really hard row to hoe. The other thing I'd like to say at this juncture is that since we've spent a lot of time for finding a replacement for the irreplaceable Larry, that we need to get back to the advisory committee workshop sometime. So,
yep.
Yep. Sure do.
We do. Good. Any other public comments? Yes. Mr. Executive Director.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Far, far away. I too want to echo that. This has been, in all my experience, probably the best organized process for hiring
acquiring
an executive director, and particularly the staff work on this. This shows, in my estimation, real first class effort on the part of the commission. You're to be thanked for that. And I too want to thank Larry for his 17 years before the mask here. And only he and I know what that is like. And I'm very grateful that we have had an executive director like Larry.
Yeah.
So thank you for your wonderful choice, and particularly the reasoning that all three of you shared with the audience today as to why you chose the folks you did. And Sam is going to make an excellent executive director. And I thank you for that.
Can I speak out of turn?
You may.
I just want to say thank you to you also. It's actually, I really, you know, working with Larry on this, I really appreciate the trust that you put in us to do this. Not only to save the court money, but to go through this process.